Parles-tu français? Hablas español? Parli italiano? If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based techniques teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/wondery. Spelled BABBEL.com/wondery. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Audible's romance collection has something to satisfy every side of you. When it comes to what kind of romance you're into, you don't have to choose just one. Fancy a dalliance with a duke or maybe a steamy billionaire. You could find a book boyfriend in the city and another one tearing it up on the hockey field. And if nothing on this earth satisfies, you can always find love in another realm. Discover modern rom-coms from authors like Lily Chu and Ali Hazelwood, the latest romantasy series from Sarah J. Maas and Rebecca Yarros, plus Regency favorites like Bridgerton and Outlander, and of course, all the really steamy stuff. Your first great love story is free when you sign up for a free 30-day trial at audible.com/wondery. That's audible.com/wondery.
This is Aces on the Air.
They got the bucket, and Turnbull came from the weak side and recycled the shot. A game-saving play by Turnbull.
The official podcast for Evansville Athletics.
Ground ball to the right side. McGinnis Fields. He throws the first. They've done it! For the first time in program history, Evansville has won a regional. The Purple Aces are off to the Sweet 16.
Aces on the Air is brought to you by Taroni's Pizzeria and Brewery. Claim a $3 off voucher at any 2025-2026 UE Athletic event on campus.
The turn on to first. Two! A double play! And it's ball game! Evansville fans have won in 18 long years! For the first time since 2006, the Aces are Missouri Valley Conference Tournament Champions!
Every episode of Aces on the Air is available on Spotify, Apple, and online at GoPurpleAces.com.
Elevates on a three. It's an air ball. Wow. And the Aces have gone the road to Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, and stunned the number one Wildcats 67-64. They shock college basketball this Tuesday night.
Now, here's the voice of the Aces, Jevin Redmond.
From the Purple Aces Sports Network, this is Aces on the Air, brought to you by Taroni's and powered by Learfield. I'm Jevin Redmond. This week, we go off campus. We're at 14 News recording this with an Evansville legend, longtime broadcaster Mike Blake at WFIE. And if I understand correctly, Mike, 55 years now at the station. My first question for you is, how is that possible? You're not even 50 years old yet.
Well, you're wearing your glasses, Jevin. I don't know how it's possible. I feel very, very fortunate because when I came here, you know, I hoped to go to bigger markets. In fact, I told the love of my life, my wife Jenny, I came in 70, met her in 71, and we got married in 73. And I said, honey, love you, love your parents, love your brothers who thank God are still alive. But I said, we got to get out of here. I want to get to Chicago, back to Chicago. I grew up for a while in Chicago, but from the age of six on, I went to high school in Chicago, but then went back into high school on the south side of Mount Carmel, and then went to Iowa to high school, to college, and I just said, I want to get to a bigger market. And I even, Jeff and I said, you know, I'm going to go to New York. I want to go to New York. Fortunately, that didn't happen. But after college, after high school, I went to a place called Loras College, a small liberal arts Catholic high school in Chicago, and then I got to University of Iowa for grad school. Got a BA at Loras in political science, communications minor. But I knew then I wanted to go into broadcasting. Went to grad school, got an MA in speech and dramatic art, area of radio, TV, and film. But then I had an interruption. I knew I was going to go into the service. I had three brothers that served. I went to the draft board, and they said, we know who you are. On October 3rd, 1968, I'd never been in the state of Kentucky, and I went there for basic training to a place called Fort Knox. Mm-hmm. After that, I ended up going out to Colorado, and I thought I would be there. I was almost 24 at the time, but instead I ended up going to Nam. But very, very, very fortunate. I ended up on, after about 3 months there, I got stationed to a station in Da Nang, which was 300 miles up the coast from Saigon, which at that time was the busiest airport in the world. Planes, you look up a anytime, and there'd be planes in the air either taking off or landing. Came back in May of 70, and then in September of 70, the 25th, I started to work at Channel 14 in weather opposite somebody named Marcia. So that was the start.
Yeah, we'll get to that here in just a bit. You know, your first responsibility here was actually in weather with Marcia Yockey. They're trying to fill that void. And I mean, you two were polar opposites as far as your on-the-air presence. But we'll talk about that here shortly. And I'm always curious when I'm talking to media members, whether it's broadcasters or whatnot, what sparked the interest to do this? Now, for me personally growing up, it was listening to Cardinals and Pacers games with Mike Shannon for the Cardinals, Mark Boyle for the Pacers. And, you know, I would play imaginary games out back and call the action, watch games on TV and broadcast it. So for you, what sparked that interest? Was there a specific person or just you started doing it?
It was kind of both. I was probably 8 or 9, maybe 10, started talking to myself, pretending I was like Bob Elson. This is, I'm really showing, he was the voice of the White Sox. And like, I don't know if Brandon Gaudin wanted to be the voice of a major league team and now is at a very young age, voice of the Braves. I wanted to be the White Sox, but and that really sparked the interest. And I, my dad was a college football referee, and did his last game was a Rose Bowl. But what I regret, I was too young. I was the youngest of 5 kids, and didn't get to ever see him ref a game. But I inherited from him a love of sports, and one of my brothers was a terrific athlete, and so that started it. And when I got to college, I think, as you know, you're not only are you good at doing play-by-play, very good, but I think you love it, don't you?
I do, yeah.
I think all sportscasters, and it wasn't until I almost went to Miami in 1977. I get a call out of the blue, and they wanted me to come down and do weekend sports, and I would do something called the Shula Show, as in Don Shula. I came back, told my boss, a guy named Conrad Cagle, one of my 8 GMs at 14 that I've had, and he said, "Hey, we're gonna do play-by-play, and you're gonna do the play-by-play of the Evansville Aces," and that was the hook, and that started it, and I was fulfill that desire at the time. And then by the time, you know, once I had that in my system, not that if somebody else had called to go to another, I certainly would have had to consider it, but things worked out for the best. And of course, 77, as you know, what a year that was in Aces history with the plane crash and going D1 and all that.
You know, in media, for me, I always want to do sports play-by-play, but I've had to do some stuff along the way that maybe wasn't my favorite, that way I could do play-by-play, so had to be kind of a jack-of-all-trades. And for you, you start in weather here at WFIE,
right.
And I guess coming in, do you have much experience in weather, or is that something you learned,
as
you went? What was your first year here like?
Fortunately, in grad school, or in undergrad, I won a speech contest as a freshman in this a guy that had a profound effect on my life said, "I want you to be one of my orators on the speech team." He really, and then on the weekend that Kennedy was killed, I'm giving a speech on mail order guns, Jevon, at Bradley University. Kennedy, of course, was killed with a mail order gun. The world stopped. That speech tournament of 75 schools ended, and the school that was affiliated with Loras was a Catholic all-girls school called Clark College. Like UE, a small but a great drama department. She says to me, she says, "Would you ever want to be in a play?" And I said, "Yeah, I really would." The reason I bring this up, doing the weather taught me to speak extemporaneously. When you do weather, you don't have a script that you have to rely on. So, and as I look back, that was great training. And I also did a show that was, it was called Item. And it was just interviewing guests on, you know, Christmas bazaars and anything like that. But it was great training. And doing the weather, I was geographically challenged a little bit. And I said some goofy stuff. But it taught me, again, live TV from another angle, so that after a year, thank God, Marsh came back from Channel 7. And I've said this many times, I loved her dearly, but in the early year or so, she drove me nuts. She had the longest weather show in the continental United States. I don't think a lot of people may not listen, know, or our listeners may not know, that she started at 14 in 1953. 4 years later, she goes to Channel 7. She got upset and leaves, but comes back in 71. Well, at Channel 7, she was the last thing in a newscast. She could go till 10:30. She could go to 10:32. She could go to Tuesday morning. Nobody cared because it was Marsha. They wanted, well, when she came to 14, we are still an NBC affiliate. There's a guy named Johnny Carson, the king of late night. And you had to hit him at 10:30. He wasn't going to wait for Mike Blake in sports. So I followed Marsh. She had a 5-minute weathercast. Some nights she'd go a little long, and I'm off camera going, yuck, come on, ramp it up. Nobody cares about this. And I'm sure I used to say, if people ever open up my stomach, they'll see the scars of following yuck there for a year. But no, thank goodness. And she finally said, I thought she had a hearing problem, Jevin, but her hearing was perfect. And she said, keep it up, sports, and you'll never get on. She said, well, and people, of course, I've heard that for years. Hey, Mike, give you, keep it up. But that first year, now, kids today, and I call them kids because they are kids coming out of college at 21 or maybe a little older. There's, in my time, there was OJT, on-the-job training. Today, Chevin, we got kids coming in who are very well-trained and have maybe even a master's degree and are just, technologically, they're more savvy than maybe my generation was. But as I learned, I've had some great advice through the years. I had a teacher that said, sometimes you have to do what you want to do most, in my case, play-by-play or sports, before you can do what you really want to do. In other words, you got to pay your dues. Mm-hmm. And I think it's true in our system. Kids today want to start out at 80 grand, and you go, hello?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen in most cases. But that first year and the first early were really good. Then in 73, we picked up a pretty good free agent named David James, mm-hmm. who was a marvelous and kind of the quintessential news anchor, and we had an outstanding run. And again, there was no cable in those days. There was no ticker. There was no internet. So I'm cramming all this stuff in my empty head, going, Marsh, let's go. So, but it was as I look back, that was great training, preparing for 43 years of doing sports.
1977 was the plane crash, as you referenced, and we're coming up on 50 years here pretty soon of that plane crash. It's something that gets talked about often on the University of Evansville campus. When we go other places, it gets brought up by other folks in sports. And you were covering that event when it happened. What was that like? Again, it's been almost 50 years. I'm sure you remember it like it was yesterday. And again, back then, no social media. Everyone's locked in the TV. They want to hear from you.
Right.
They're hoping to hear the good news that never came. So just what was that night like?
Well, we in those times, I was out covering. First of all, it was a lousy night. It was cold. It was kind of rainy. It was rainy, not kind of. And I can remember our station manager was in the office when I came back from covering. I came in through the back door, and I could look into the newsroom, and there is my boss. And it was very rare for him to be there that late. It was like 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And he just looked at me and said, it's the Aces. And just like that, everything, we go, whoa. Again, you threw away the scripts. We were getting calls, again, because there was no cable. There was you had AP, Associated Press, and United Press International, UPI. That was it. But people were calling in from all over the country. What can you tell us, once it hit the wires? I was very grateful. I thought the whole city, not just 14, but the other TV stations, the papers, and I think the community. A lot of communities wanted to, what can we do? You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers came in to do a benefit basketball game. SIU, our greatest rival at the time in basketball, offered to host a holiday tournament, stuff like that. And another impression was there was a wonderful woman named Edie Bates, who was the wife of Marv Bates. He was in his probably his 60s at the time of the crash. But in November, we're at a quarterback club meeting. I said, Marv, how's Edie? Because she had a very serious heart issue. And he says, oh, Mike, I don't think she's going to be around much longer. How ironic, a month later, Marv is killed in the crash. Edie, thanks to a UE grad, a Dr. Harold Holbrook, who I think played for McCutcheon, heart surgeon, did a transplant. She became the longest living heart transplant survivor in the country and lived about 25 years. She, Jim Byers, a football man, but a great guy, and Dr. Wally Graves, I think, under extremely difficult conditions. They were like ambassadors because people wanted to honor UE for months. And I asked Edie years later, I said, I think you were in shock for a while? And she said, I think I was. And she became a great friend of Deidre Watson, who was the wife of the coach Bobby Watson, who was killed in the crash. He was a great guy, Jevin. You'd have loved working with him because he had no ego, and there was a writer who, Don White, a very good writer for the Sunday Courier and Press. There were a lot of people in that era who said, why are we going from D2 where we were kings? We've won 5 national titles. Wait, forget D1. But in my mind, they'd made the right decision because all of their rivals, Butler, Indiana State, Southern Illinois, Western, it was, you know, they had to go from a financial standpoint. And they did, and I think a lot of, at that time again, a lot of people were still, we should have never gone D1. Well, this writer, Don White, wrote a very, not a scathing, but just kind of a negative article. Rather than get upset and go off the handle, which some coaches might do, or just boycott him, he said, hey, Don, let's go to dinner or lunch. He talked to him and said, hey, we haven't played a ball game yet. I got kids coming in from other parts of the country who are now getting a shot at a team that is starting a D1 program. They're excited. I've got to, you know, also the community's trying to recover from the fact that Jerry Sloan took the job in early February for about 4 days and then came into Wally Graves and said, hey, I made a mistake. And you go, oh, my gosh, that was like the second coming, because Sloan was hands down the most well-known player from those dream teams in the mid-60s. Anyway, White did 180 degrees. He became a disciple and saw what Watson was trying to do. And Jevin, I'm not kidding you, he was like an evangelist, Bobby Watson. He went everywhere to not just in Evansville, but Tell City, Southern Illinois. And he had 2 or 3 really good players. One was a kid named Mike Duff out of El Dorado. And I believe some guy named Larry Bird said Duff was one of the best, or maybe the best, he played against in high school. Duff, of course, Bird was at Springs Valley. But stuff like, and then another one, Brian Taylor. They've named the gym in Tell City after Brian. He was recruited by Louisville. But by November, by October, by the time we were approaching our first game, the community was excited. My God, these guys are going to be good. Then, of course, it happened. But with all due respect now, Southern Indiana, I think, can be a tremendous force in the Ohio Valley Conference, and I'm thrilled they're G1. But they were getting their legs back then. The Aces were at one time the game in town. Right. You've heard the stories about, boy, to get Aces season tickets, you know, get on a line, get on a waiting list. Yeah. And again, there wasn't the complications of major sports now that you deal with, the NIL and portal and all that stuff.
When I say Robert Stadium, what memories come to mind?
Oh boy, it was a special place, and my first was what a wonderful place for six schools or seven schools to have the sectional, regional, and semi-state. I mean, it was wonderful. And Vincennes was like death and taxes. They were always going to be at the regional, Vincennes Lincoln, and you had Mount Vernon and other. But that was my first real experience. But early on, another great memory was the ACES last D2 or college division, and it was when they won the title in 1971 with Don Boozy, John Wellemeyer, and Steve Wellmer, a.k.a. the Whale. But Wellmer lost a lot of weight and became one of the top D1 basketball officials in America. And people will remember Pete Maravich, who I think was one of the greatest ever, just a magician with the basketball. His dad, Press, coached LSU, where Pete played, and he called McCutchen and he said, "Mac, your aces in 71, he said, could have played with any of our 14 and possibly won them." And in those, and, you know, one time they beat Purdue. I think Gene Katie said, "We're never going back to Evansville," because it was a pit, you know. And that national championship team in 71, Wellmer was a freak. He was 6'9", but everyone else was like 6'3" at most. Boozy was 6'4", and I'm trying to think, but his teammate on the team said he said, "I knew Boozy was a great, not only a great offensive player, but he was a great defensive player because he not only covered my man, his man, but mine as well." Yeah. You know, and they were both starting. Kurt John played at Wrights, and he said that when Boozy was going into the Hall of Fame at U of A.
I see a lot of the games. Yeah. You sit down on the court. To my rise, I sit next to the bench. But what keeps you around? Why do you want to keep going to Aces games? I mean, obviously, you covered them for a long time. What keeps that closeness between you and the university?
I've just been fortunate. I can remember, again, getting advice. If you do something that you love to do, and again, I've been allowed to grow. I didn't know it at the time, but weather and doing public affairs shows, and then of course something called the telethon is a whole different chapter of my life. That prepared me for a bond, and now, you know, I've got a son that's a coach. I think just love of sports. The community has been very welcoming, and my kids were happy here. You know, and I can remember my wife. She said, "Honey, I know we're going to go places." She said, "But I tell you, if we're still here at age 40, it'll take a bomb to get me out of here." Because she was a native, and she was right. And by 40, it almost took a bomb to get me out. You know, because you get settled, you got relationships, and I was able to. I think if you're happy at home, you'll be happy at work. And I was also happy at work, Jevon, to where I thought, you know, this will be fun. One year leads to another. And I may not go to as many Aces games today. And, of course, I felt a commitment. And I said there were great thrills with USI at the stadium. And now at what I think was the best D2 facility in the country, the Eagles Arena. I mean, good Lord, for a D school that just went D1, how perfect was that? You know, and I hope they'll fill that for years to come. But, and again, I'm just grateful for my age. If you'd have said to me, you know, 50 years ago, "You're going to be working here for 50 years," and I'd have said, you're on drugs. Get away from me. You know, I don't know what you're talking about. But a lot of things had to go right and had to be very fortunate.
Put you on the spot just a bit, and you might write off several different games, but what is one game that still comes to mind to this day that you covered, you're at, as far as with the Purple Aces? What's one game?
Boy, there have been a lot. I did a couple games with Jim Cruz as a color man, and he was a great guy. And of course, he was, when he cut his teeth, when he came, he was 33 years old, and he had just been the Generals' top coach, you know. And even though they lost, it was fun. Cruz wasn't my color man then. It was Dean Webster. We played Notre Dame in the NIT, and Case Beer, I think, put in 40, and that was a great game. I covered a game down in Tucson. This was the when they won against Ralph Wilson. Was it Ralph, the coach at Oregon State? They had the had a great guard who played in the pros, and we beat Oregon State, and then lost to somebody who lost to Michigan almost for the national title. Mm-hmm. And but that was a great atmosphere. We did a couple games. We won at Xavier. But at one time, we were in a conference, the MCC, Marquette, Xavier, Butler, Loyola, Southern Illinois. I mean, it was a terrific conference. And we would win as many as we lose with the Musketeers. But the Aces had a great following and a loyal following. We had another one at Butler with Reed Crafton. You remember that name?
Oh, yeah.
Reed was a great guard, but he was a wild card. And he goes to Florida, but he's playing behind a couple All-Americans. So he transfers back. He was out of North Central or Lawrence North in Indy. So it was his homecoming. And I think he had a half 30 tickets, you know, to satisfy his legions of fans. He had a lot of them. Well, and Joe Sexton was the coach of Butler. And we're doing the game, and Crafton is having a very good game. Well, unbeknownst to me, to Dean and Bob Boxall, my dear friend and former sports information director, you know, as good as it gets, he, right before the half, there was a technical foul call, and I'm looking at, and it was like Huey, Dewey, and Louie. None of us knew, so we just said, well, we'll try to find out more about that during the halftime. With the score, Evansville winning, you know, I don't know what the spread on the game was, but it was close.
Yeah.
And this was the year we went to the NCAA. And anyway, we come back and find out that Crafton had said something to a referee that was inappropriate.
That we can't repeat.
That we can't repeat. And I went, oh, my gosh. And I found that out from Woody Wilson at the end of the game. I said, by the way, Woody, what happened to Crafton? You know, you can't do that. But anyway, that was a great game to be part of, and a great road win, and it was fun to do the games when we went to Oral Roberts and one at Oklahoma City had Abe Lemon. You remember that? Mm. He said, I'm so sick of covering that or watching that 6'5" Brad Leaf play. Leaf had a great first step, and he must have beaten Oklahoma City 4 or 5 times in his – beat him every year, you know. And Lemon was a colorful, colorful coach. There's been a couple books written. The one book, Up from the Ashes, it was a great read. And also, it started to wear, not just with the crash, but for years, from in the mid-40s, 50s, there was a – UE was in our DNA. Mm-hmm. You know, it had a great foundation. And McCutcheon was – he probably today would be shaking his head about this portal stuff. But McCutcheon, he was a great coach about – detail and conditioning, and the Aces won a lot of times just because they were in great shape. Mm-hmm. Even in the fourth quarter.
Look, you're extremely professional. You try to remove any bias, but I'm curious, just for this segment, who are some of your favorite athletes in the tri-state you've covered? Whether they play at the University of Evansville, could have been high school athletes, went somewhere else. Who are some of your favorite athletes that you've covered in 55 years?
Wow, boy. Forgive me if I leave you out. One of the best, and he didn't go to UE, Calbert Chaney. And of course, UE was very much in the hunt, but ended up going to IU. But there were, the kid from Harrison, who ended up playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, for crying out loud. He was, he played two sports. But he was a footballer. I'll think of it in a second. Clint Keon was as good all around. I mean, he was amazing. And one coach said, oh, football is his best sport. Jim Brownlee, to this day, says baseball was his best sport. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Cruz wanted him and did a great job recruiting him. I've always felt the style of a game. You know, he was a freelancer. Had he played maybe for USI, because he went out to, when he transferred to Carolina Aiken, he averaged 27 or 28 points a game and had a, he may have set a scoring record there, but there were so many of those guys. I didn't get to cover the Sloan. Boozy had to be in 71. When this thing's over, when you shut this mic down, I'll go, hey, there was, I'll think of about five. But there were, and this is crazy, Donnie Sellers was a Harrison kid in track. Charlie Seiske was a coach. They cranked him out every year. There was a running back from Harrison named Tony Suggs. LeVron Williams out of Bossy. Owen Wright. Wright's had all kinds. I didn't get to see the Don Hanson unscored, untied. I had buddies. I grew up in Northwest Indiana, and a lot of my buddies played on Hammond High's undefeated team, and they thought, who was this? Evansville Reitz. You know, we didn't know it was pronounced right.
Yeah.
And, you know, that team was loaded. But there were from each school. Jasper had a kid named Ballinger that went and played for Rupp. And, you know, it goes on and on. And one of the best, he was a two-sporter. John Ambrose made the 40-man Cardinal roster. But one of the things that deterred his making the majors, he was afraid of flying. But, boy, he threw aspirin tablets as a pitcher. He was a great pitcher. And he had 30 in a game one time in basketball. You know, but there were a slew of them. And I don't want to leave. Of course, you had the – there's three or four Memorial girls, that, including Mallory Ladd, who's now the current coach of the Lady Tigers. They were good athletes. And Castle, for years, had great volleyball. They, you know, and track to I'm thinking these girls, but I can't think of their names, back in the early 70s in track at Bossy. You know, but, and oh, good Lord.
So we do a full episode on this probably.
Yeah. Superman at USI.
Yeah.
I can hear some of your listeners now. You've got a lot of listeners from you. And I go, boy, come on. What about, you know, but there's been a slew of them. And we, and I've been privileged to cover the quarterback club All City for 45 years. And wow. The kids, and of course, I had, you remember, you know, Ralph Weinsamp, Hall of Fame coach at Memorial, came to me 35, 40 years ago. He says, hey, I got a favor. He said, I got a guy coming in from bigger, faster, stronger. He wants all coaches that you can get, female and male, to come. I just want to talk to him about conditioning and about the future of high school and college sports. At that time, Castle had the only weight room. It was even better than U of E's, which was embarrassing at the time for football. Well, he was right. And his whole mantra that day was, you're not going to believe the size of kids in 5 years or less. They're going to be bigger. They're going to be faster. They're going to be – and now look at the girls. If they're for volleyball, you have to be a certain height usually to really be a hitter and so forth. And he was right. And the kids today, there was never a 300-pound lineman. And the school I went to in Chicago, we played before 58,000 for the city championship, and we had a line that was average 230, and running backs were 190, which was big. And we won the state of Illinois won the city championship. Those guys are puny compared to what we see today, you know. And they're just and soccer, what the soccer kids today are phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we talk about, you know, you mentioned early in this podcast about going to a bigger market and covering sports there. But
yeah.
I think the one thing that's neat about Evansville is two things. One, how important the Aces are to the city. And also, high school sports are a big deal here, especially when it comes to football and basketball. And I do the games for Memorial on TV every Friday night. And just the following they have as far as the viewers, we get interaction. And,
right.
And it's just, it's very important here. You don't get that in bigger cities.
That's right. I grew up outside of Chicago, in Northwest Indiana, Chevin, and we never saw a high school game on TV. And, there were some great athletes, you know, just like there are from all over the state. But we're very lucky. We're blessed, and I hope they keep those traditions. But I think a lot of people are now, with both UE and USI, we're in a tough spot. If we get a really good talent, the odds of keeping that kid in a lot of sports, well, he's gonna go big, you know. It's a challenge, and financially, I think I hear this year UE's got a kid out of Germany that's really good,
22 years old, and he's considered a freshman.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So we can keep him for more than 12 months. And that'll be tough because they'll, you know, the amount of money that these kids can get, they got to go.
Yeah, that's the main thing is the financial challenge. Not only keeping kids here, but financially competing with those bigger schools because they're continuing to improve. Even though Evansville's improving, their situation is tough to keep up. So to me, it's frustrating but also exciting because if you have a down year, that can flip quickly with a new group coming in. But also, you have a good year, it's tough to keep those kids. So
right.
Depends on how
right.
you look at it, and it's certainly a different world, yeah.
Right.
Well, let's finish up with this. I mentioned 55 years here at the station.
Yeah.
What keeps you going? Why do you still want to come to work every day?
I think it's because I really like what I do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a cliche, but it's true. This is a family situation for me. Mm-hmm. If I were unhappy here, I'd have had to leave. But I've always been able to. You know, I also did news for 14 years. And when they asked me, said, would you like research? This kind of unnerved me. They said, research shows that people will watch you in spite of sports. And I said, what? What does that mean? And it's a very research-oriented group. Hmm. I mean, business. And I said, so would you consider anchoring the news that we would launch the 5 o'clock news? And I said, yeah, I'm honored. I'm flattered. I'd love the challenge. But I don't know if I want to give up sports. And again, it was Conrad Cagle. He said, you don't have to. We'll put Dean at the 6 and or a guy named Mark Howard. They brought in a kid named Mark Howard who became a great buddy. Late, he unfortunately has passed. Had a great career in Nashville. But anyway, I was able to, because of that, and work with these so many good different. I just enjoyed. And here it was. Oh, there were times when I thought, but I never thought, I hate this. Mm-hmm. And you know, you hear people complain, and it's, you can imagine, and coaches, the pressure that,
oh, yeah.
And I may have, I'd have had a tough time, somebody said, do you think you could have worked in New York or Chicago? And I said, yeah, I do, but I wouldn't have been around 55 years mm-hmm. because they can't, there's so much money. You know, hey Mike, you gotta redo your hair. You know, I colored my hair, and I thought I'd be ahead of the curve, but I was clueless. Chivon, I got it, went in. I was in my 40s, and a girl at work, only one person noticed it, other than my wife Jenny, who said, "Okay, yeah, go for it, honey." So I get it done. It looks great, and I thought, "Boy, I'm all set." Well, I didn't know after 5 or 6 weeks you gotta have a take two, right? So I go into this. I'm crazy about it. Very good hairstylist. But I'm looking at the mirror, and I'm going to a track meet that night, and it looked like somebody had put shinola, that old shoe polish, in my hair. It was just dark, jet black. And I go, whoa. I go and cover, and of course, guys aren't going to be real clever. Hey, I like what you're doing to your hair. You know, it was just awful. So I went back a second time. He kind of, and then third, and finally I said, hey, screw it. I'm going to just go with what God gave me, and, you know, here we go. Well, again, I didn't have a clue. I didn't realize that as it comes back, and you let it go back natural, well, there was my natural dark brown, and there was kind of a reddish dark brown. There's a little black. There was the gray. My boss calls me, and he says, Mike, said, you're one of our A players here. He said, let's pick one color and stick with it. So here it goes.
Yeah.
So I never fooled with it. But again, you can have – again, where I was like, hey, you can have, and there's been very talented people that are from smaller markets go up to the big market, and they've had it, and vice versa. They may go from, they're making a great living in Boston, and New York calls, and they go, boy, I should have never left Boston. You know, mm-hmm. it's a, you need a lot of factors.
Yeah.
But I am truly blessed, and I'm very grateful to God for my health, you know, because it's, boy, they could come in any minute and say, hey, Mike, it's been a nice ride, but we're done, you know, so, but I'm not sure just how much longer. My current boss, Jay Hyde, has been terrific, and we just have a handshake. I no longer have a contract.
Right.
You know, so.
It's a good spot to be in. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I'm sure once I do retire, you know, I'll be ready. You know, Jevin, thank you. Funny being on this side of the microphone.
Yeah.
I hope I haven't been too long-winded. I admire what you do. Boy, keep doing it. You're very happy here, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
This is your New York, or your right here.
Yeah, I'm not shy about this. I've had a couple of opportunities to possibly leave, and it's one of those things where you, and the older you get, you realize, hey, you factor in your overall life,
your
family, your friends, and just the connections. And I was told the same thing you were. The longer you stay, the harder it is to leave.
There you go.
And this will be my eighth year at the university. But no, I'm happy here. I enjoy it. I've always just wanted to do this at the Division I level, so I'm getting to do that, and always looking forward to the next year. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. And so, we just hope that the Aces can get a couple more 22-year-old freshman.
pro point guards. That's what we want. Yeah. Yeah, that's the world we live in. But I tell you what, I watched a lot of practice in July, a lot of summer workouts, and a little bit here in September, and I think it'll be a fun year for Aces fans and a group that has experience, talent, should compete from day one. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, that's wish you the best. Hey, thank you again. Honored, my friend. Yeah. And I do this midday show. And again, I never thought I'd do a show like that, but I am very fortunate to do it. And you get to do all kinds of different types of people, right?
Yep.
So, hey.
Right. Good to see you, yep.
Hey, great to see you, Jevin, and thanks again.
That is Mike Blake. As always, thanks for listening. I'm Jevin Redman. Go Aces.
Beth, you're in charge of ordering the tacos for the meeting today, yeah?
I'm not going to order the tacos.
What?
I'm going to Easy Cater the tacos. With Easy Cater, you can order from a huge variety of restaurants, track expenses, and save time.
Nice.
Oh, by the way, you're emailing the meeting notes, right?
No, I'm going to easy mail them. Where's my music?
Sorry, Ben. There's no Easy Cater for that.
Easy Cater, the easy way to order food for work. Order now at easycater.com.